comes to order at 5 minutes after three. We have with us today Representative Herron, Representative Miller, Representative Curtula, and myself, Representative Keller. Today's April 5th, and we have before us today HB 227, and we want to get information related to the bill on the record. The sponsor is Representative Herron, and I will just ask him to orchestrate whoever you want up here first to first explain the bill and get the issues clear surrounding the bill.
People can read the sponsor statement, but for the sake of time, can we ask Linda to come forward?
Absolutely. Okay. So, Linda, if you would come up and identify yourself and who you represent. You've been through this drill before, I know for a fact.
Hello. For the record, my name is Linda Sylvester, and I work for Sam Keto, Keto Incorporated. HB 227 offers the state of Alaska a chance to save potentially millions of dollars by having generic drug companies compete against one another. These funds can then be available to other programs. The bill requires the Department of Health and Social Services to place on its preferred drug list the least costly drug, generic or name brand, that is achieved through the process of competitive bidding. Over the past 25 years, the United States generic pharmaceutical industry has grown into a multi-billion dollar industry, providing FDA-approved generic versions of name brand medicines. With every prescription filled with a generic drug, the consumer receives a product similar to its name brand equivalent with similar quality and similar result, but at a much lower cost. For most name brand products, there are multiple generics produced by multiple manufacturers, and these drugs vary themselves greatly in price. While the Alaska Medicaid program has encouraged the use of generic drugs by its internal mechanisms, such as its preferred drug list and other tools, this bill suggests another common sense action that policymakers can take to ensure that the state of Alaska is purchasing the least costly drug by taking advantage of open market competition among generic manufacturers. HB 227 requires the Department of Health and Social Services to place to list on its preferred drug list only generic and name brand drugs that have gone through an open and competitive bid process to realize the lowest possible cost for the Alaska State Medicaid program. By treating generics equally as a commodity and requiring competitive bidding, the cost of the drugs will be driven down and the state can be assured that it is getting the lowest possible price for its product. What that cost might be is unknown, and the only way to ensure the state of Alaska pays the lowest cost is to subject these commodities to open and competitive bidding. Thank you.
Questions from the committee?
I think, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know the department's here, but why aren't we doing this now? I mean, why haven't we always been doing this?
From our point of view, it's a process. This the preferred drug lists were instituted at the federal level as a cost savings, and encouraging states to use generics. And generics are cheaper than name brand drugs. And on the federal level with name brand drugs, with limiting their patents. So all of these things were coming about at the same time. And so what's happened now is the proliferation of generic manufacturers of drugs. And you don't think of big generic drugs as a multinational, multi-billion-dollar industry. So they've, over time, have grown. So it's just a natural progression in the process.
Okay, thank you very much.
How many, like any given generic drug, how many different generic companies would be involved in selling the same generic drug? I really welcome this chance to learn a few things about this market that I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. What I've learned generally, the generic drugs are a lot of them are based in the United States. A lot of them are international. And what I've learned is that when the drugs come off label, the formula is available, and anybody can apply with the FDA to manufacture the drug. And so you get this proliferation. So there's multiple drugs, multiple generics for the same name brand drug. And eventually the name brand drug recedes into to be less of a factor in the market.
So the market system is working on that way. See, I don't want to say. I just never thought of the profit margin on the generic drugs to be big enough to support competing generics. You know, yeah. I just never thought of it that way.
Yeah, Representative Kelly, you consider the name brand is developing the drug through and going through the original FDA testing. They're marketing the drug initially, and then when the patent goes away, then the generic drug has the recipe. They have the market is out there for the drug. They have a period of time where they're protected so that they can establish themselves in the market. As they have a 6-month period of time where they can establish themselves. So their cost, their overhead is very low, but we don't actually know what the actual cost of the materials that are in the drug, because the generics set their own price. We don't know. So by putting them through the competitive process, the price will go down, but we just don't know how low the price is. But they have. You think of aspirin, or you think of Tylenol, and you can think of in your own mind all the generic versions of the same kind of drug. So that exists with pharmaceuticals as well.
So the reason the bill is coming forward is you believe that the department is not getting the best value buying drugs. That's the bottom line concern.
We would like that to be explored, for sure, and we believe that there's cost savings to be had with this tool.
Okay. Any more questions for Representative Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony. I think this may get a question, but I think it's probably more of a statement. It was very recently in my own history, probably within the last 5 to 6 years, that I recognized the fact that I can go to the doctor and he can prescribe X. I go to the pharmacy and the pharmacist says, oh, there's a generic for that, it's Y. Okay, I'll take that, and it's less expensive. Some months later, I come to discover that my insurance company would only pay for X, or the deductible was higher for Y. So again, out of my pocket, you know, I may be paying more or less. Then sometime later, I also discovered, well, if you bought a 90-day supply instead of 30, there are other mitigating factors. Then I come to find out even later from the pharmacist, well, you know, this is a 10 milligram, whatever it is. If I sell you a 20, it's the same price. You can cut them in half yourself. So when you get through with all of these moving parts, is that part of what you're proposing to try and balance out that, you know, we can get something that's going to bring us the lowest cost with all of those factors?
Streamlining that process is not what this bill addresses.
Nuts.
No, although that would be a noble effort.
Okay.
There's a lot I don't know. I still have questions. I'm trying to figure this out. Currently, the pharmaceutical supplier, they probably have package deals, right? And some generic and some not, right?
So. The department can speak to that, but I believe in the state of Alaska, we participate in multi-state contracts that are managed by Magellan. So it would be a very complex process. This would be an encouragement to pursue competitive bidding, but within the realities and the business practices of the department. It doesn't seek to supersede anything.
Okay. Thank you. We have Chad Hope from Pharmacy and Department. He's available for questions. We have John Sherwood here from the Department for answers, questions. Ron Miller, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Would you give us your testimony and identify yourself and who you represent, and give us your Wisdom.
Okay, I'm Ron Miller. I'm with Regional Pharmacy Manager for Safeway in Alaska. I'm based out of Anchorage. And Safeway is opposed to this bill, particularly the competitive bidding process. There are three major wholesalers in Alaska, McKesson, Bergen, and Cardinal, and each of them have their own individual brand of a generic. So you'd have McKesson with brand M and Bergen with brand B and Cardinal with brand C. And they go through the competitive bidding process, and brand M wins. But Safeway buys from Cardinal. We don't have access to brand M. So then we're locked out of that market, and or we'd either have to sell it at whatever McKesson, even though it may cost us more for that same drug through our wholesaler. So we would be at a loss at on that particular item. You know, because it has to be opened, you know, each manufacturer or wholesaler has to have one of the bidding process, because not everybody's with McKesson, not everybody's with Cardinal, not everybody's with Bergen.
So, Ron, if you were in that situation, and if I understood you right, you could not compete because you do not have access, or maybe at a higher price,
right,
for brand M?
All companies, you know, set up contracts. We're currently with Cardinal, so we have a contract, an exclusive contract, that we buy everything from Cardinal. They say sell us brand C generic, but if the bidding process says brand M is the one that we need to dispense, we have no access to that. And so we would be out of that market, or we'd have to use brand C and be reimbursed for brand M, which is maybe $10 a bottle versus what we're paying is $25.
Okay. Now, when you say out of that market, are you talking about out of the market for that particular generic, or is it
just for that particular generic?
Yeah.
But if you have 300 or 400 competitive bid generics, you know, and McKesson comes in with the lowest bid on all of these, then we would be out of that entire group of market, which then we would not be able to fill them for Medicaid, or, you know, we'd take a loss at that. And this would be devastating to independents, which would have, you know, less resources, I would think.
Because the competitive price that would be set would not be available to Safeway, of course. That'd be
That is correct.
Okay. I think I'm beginning to get it. Representative Aaron?
Yes, sir. Please explain lockout. Why is Safeway locked out?
Because we're under a contract to buy from Cardinal, and so we can only buy the products that they purchase. You know, and so if the winning bid was, you know, brand M from McKesson, we would not be able to compete because they would have, you know, selling it. Their bid would be $10 per bottle, where we were paying $25. The markup, you know, just wouldn't cover the cost on that. We'd have to give up $15 a bottle just to play the game.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Before Representative Miller asks questions, I got to announce to the committee that Representative Millett joined us about 5 minutes after we got started, and I forgot to put it on the record.
And I like this committee.
Yeah. Yeah. The committee that she really enjoys?
Yes. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, is it Roy? Is that the right name?
Ron Miller.
Thank you for your testimony today. I'm going to pick up where Representative Heron's questioning left off. I don't fully understand, not the definition of locked out, but I don't understand why Safeway would be locked out. I'm assuming that you folks buy all sorts of products through your nationwide chain from all sorts of sources. why is it that one more pharmaceutical couldn't be added to your shelf from another company you're not doing business with today?
Well, it would have to be added by the wholesaler, Cardinal, because we're under a contract, exclusive contract. We buy everything from Cardinal, and they get a good deal on brand C generic, which is equivalent to McKesson's brand M or Bergen's brand B. And if we can't buy M, which is the one that wins the competitive bid, we would have to make up the difference out of our profit to dispense that drug.
In other words, you're telling me that there's no possibility that you could request of your supplier that they add that particular item to their inventory?
We could ask that, but again, they may not want that. And if, you know, if we're a small market in Alaska, they say, well, no, we're not going to, since we have all the other states that use brand C. I'm just saying that there is that possibility.
Yes, I sympathize with the position that you're in, and of course we as a small population state experience these sorts of things all the time. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. One thing is clear. The market is far removed from health care, even pharmaceuticals. It's difficult to figure out. Is there anybody else in the room that has testimony? Online. Chad, did you have something you wanted to add after listening to our fumbling around here?
Good afternoon. This is Chad Hope with the Department of Health and Social Services with Alaska Medicaid. I certainly could expand on some of the comments that Mr. Miller was making as far as concerns with access issues for Medicaid recipients. The department echoes those concerns in that limiting access to a single brand or brands of generic medications may result in Medicaid recipients either not having access to their medications, or Medicaid could be put in a situation where we are required to purchase the more expensive brand name version because the pharmacies cannot obtain the contracted generic medication. And with the significant price difference there, it would not take long for any savings, if they did occur, to be overwhelmed by additional costs through the brand name medications. I would also like to mention that the department currently has a pricing mechanism in place that achieves the best possible price for the department with generic medications by setting a max limit on each product. So whether or not brand M, C, or B is used, the department has a standardized reimbursement that prevents a pharmacy from purchasing the most expensive generic and being reimbursed higher than if they had purchased the less expensive generic. So we have that protection in place where the state is already achieving the maximum savings. So it's unknown or to what degree, if any, additional savings may be seen.
Any questions for Chad? Representative Heron.
Yes, sir. I guess my question is so this is the case where the state does not want the competitive bid process? Is that what I'm hearing?
Representative Heron, I believe that the administration does not have an official position on the bill. There are certainly many concerns with the bill in its current form.
And Mr. Chairman, so can we get a list of those concerns?
Chad?
Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear if there was a question.
Yes, Chad, this is Bob Heron. Can the administration provide a list of those concerns to the committee?
I don't know why we could not.
I would like to add to that. We're winding down here really quick this time of year, of course, but You know, I would really like to understand the price mechanism that's in place and how it works. And so I, you probably don't have a tutorial ready to go on that, but if it was earlier in the session, I would ask you to work with us on that. But in the future, at some point, maybe we can do that.
So, Mr. Chairman, is as chairman, can you specifically request that list of concerns and provide it to all committee members?
Chad, would you do that in writing for us? Write your concerns with that the department has or may have with HB 227, and if we're going to do that, I want to confirm here that we have version Bravo in front of the committee. I don't think we did that. It's 0552 Bravo. So would you do that, provide that for us, and then if you have materials that can help us understand the existing pricing mechanism that is in place and how that keeps the cost down for the state, frankly, I'm still, you know, struggling with understanding and would appreciate that.
Yes, sir, Chair Keller, we can get that in writing, and I believe having it in writing would aid with having examples that could help to explain what we're talking about.
Thank you very much for testifying. Anybody else in the room? Okay, we'll close public testimony for now. We can open it at another time. I'm going to put the bill aside. In 3 minutes, we have a photo opportunity up in the speaker's chambers for Carl Gatto, Representative Gatto. So we'll go ahead and adjourn at this time, 3:28. Thank you.